I'm out here on the lawn with all the undisclosed people. Say hi, undisclosed people. Woohoo! Awesome. I need to give a bit of a shout out to my gorgeous husband, Lucas, who previously this week actually recorded this message so it could be beamed to you all and beamed inside and beamed to Brighton and to Southeast and to anyone online. And then we had restriction changes. So here I am. I am with you in person, which I'm really excited about. It's awesome. Great to be with you. The one thing that's fascinating to me is that right throughout this entire season, what we have to remember is we are being moved around all over the place. And in experiencing our chaos and the confusion that we're in, the Holy Spirit is never, ever restricted. What he can do and what he and where he is and how he engages with us, he is never restricted by anything that human beings can do, which is such a blessing for us. So we're in our series on Galatians, Jesus plus nothing. And we're actually up to Galatians chapter 5 this week. And the very first verse of Galatians chapter 5, Paul says this. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." Now, never was there a more obvious statement written, right? It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Well, of course it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. But then he says, I don't want you to go back to slavery. Don't engage in something that's going to bind you or put shackles around you or cause you to live a life that is not free. I want to say to you today that no one has ever been more committed to your freedom than Jesus. No one. The people who you love most in your life, the people who have power over you, no one has been more committed to your freedom than Jesus. He's committed to it. He's so committed to it that he gave his life for your freedom. But freedom is living the life that God intended for us to live. He created each of us with a purpose. He created each of us with a destiny in mind. And so that's kind of the freedom that we're meant to live within. If we live outside the boundaries of that freedom, then we're no longer actually free. What we are is bound by other things that are gripping our attention and gripping for our soul. I'll give you an example. If you try to set a goldfish free from its tank, what you're actually doing is killing it. You're going to give it a life of bondage for a few moments while it gasps for its last breath, and then it will actually no longer be free. So you can only be free inside the boundaries of its tank. And it's similar that God gives us a purpose and he gives us a destiny and he has a design for us. He created each of us for a design in life and a purpose in life that he wants for us to fulfill. And so the more that we live in line with that, the more free we live. And this is really what Paul is talking about. So I'm going to start reading from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And I'm reading from the Passion Translation just because I like the way that it rolls off the tongue. So Paul starts like this in verse 13. He says, "Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an excuse to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Constantly love each other and be committed to serve one another. For all the law can be summarized in one grand statement: demonstrate love to your neighbor, even as you care for and love yourself. But if you continue to criticize and come against each other over minor issues, you're acting like wild beasts trying to destroy one another. Let me emphasize this: as you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit. But when you yield to the life of the Spirit, you will no longer be living under the law, but soaring above it. The behavior of the self-life is obvious: sexual immorality, lustful thoughts, pornography, chasing after things instead of God, manipulating others, hatred of those who get in your way, senseless arguments, resentment when others are favored, temper tantrums, angry quarrels, only thinking of yourself, being in love with your own opinions, being envious of the blessings of others, murder, uncontrolled addictions, wild parties, and all other similar behaviour. Haven't I already warned you that those who use their freedom for these things will not inherit the kingdom realm of God? But the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all its varied expressions. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in actions, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. Never set the law above these qualities, for they are meant to be limitless. Keep in mind that we who belong to Jesus Christ have already experienced crucifixion, for everything connected with our self-life was put to death on the cross and crucified with Messiah. If the Spirit is the source of our life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. So what's happened here when Paul is speaking to these Galatian Christians, this relatively new church, is he's saying to them, you've been given this beautiful freedom to be able to live a life that God has called you to live, but there's this tendency to want to do it in your own strength. And then he gives them two examples in chapter 4, and Pastor Sam was talking about this last week. In chapter 4, he says to them, don't go back to the law. Don't go back to rules and regulations, because if you live by rules and regulations, that will hinder your freedom. And then he comes in chapter 5 and he starts speaking of, I don't want you also to live by the flesh, just live by the way that you want to and what your own life desires, because that will also leave you in a life of slavery. That will hinder your freedom as well. And so Paul is actually speaking against a couple of things here, and he's giving them, what he's wanting to do is lead them to a place where they understand the secret to living a life of freedom. And we're going to look at that today. First of all, he says that the secret to living a life of freedom is not legalism. It's not living by rules and regulations. It's not being bound by human agendas or human ideas or logic. It's not going, here's a moral code and I'm going to live within that and somehow I'm going to experience freedom because of this really logical, reasonable moral code. So he's saying to them, don't go back to the Lord. Don't go back to legalism. But then he also, in chapter 5 here, he says, but also I don't want you to live a life of licentiousness, which is basically just doing whatever you want. Living a life of immorality because it feels good, or it just seems like something that you might want to enjoy, or it has the lure of freedom. Because he's saying that will actually cause you to be bound as well. You'll be bound by sin. So he's saying the secret to living a life of freedom is not legalism, and it's not licentiousness. And fascinatingly, even though those two things seem like they're at the end of a spectrum, it's not a balance between both either. He's saying it's actually altogether different. You won't find freedom in legalism. You won't find freedom in licentiousness. But you will find freedom in walking by the Spirit. That is the secret, according to Paul, in this chapter. In verse 16 in the NIV, he says it like this. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with one another, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So Paul is saying here, if you want to experience real freedom, if you want to know what it is to be fully free and living in the favor of God in the midst of the passion and the purpose that he has set for you, for your life, that he designed you for, you have to live a life walking by the Spirit. That's what he's saying. Now, Charles Stanley says this. He says, to walk by the Spirit is to live moment by moment in dependency upon him, sensitive to his voice, and in obedience to him. Moment by moment in dependency upon him, sensitive to his voice, and living in obedience to him. Now, this is something that is, it's kind of countercultural to us, Because what we tend to do in life is that we see what's in front of us and then we make a calculation according to what's tangibly around us. And because the Spirit isn't tangibly seen by us, sometimes it's easy to kind of put his voice at the back of the pack. We go to our friends first, we go to reason and logic first, we go to our circumstances first, and we try and figure out what's going on there, and then we might get to the point where we sort of go, oh, Lord, would you just bless what I'm about to do? As opposed to going to him first and saying, Holy Spirit, will you speak into my heart in this moment so that I can have some guidance from you as to what you're wanting to do in my life? Now, one of the things that this whole COVID experience has given me is just a complete refresher course in listening to the Spirit. You know, I thought I was okay before, but man, he has challenged me and brought me up some levels in these past couple of years. And it's been quite extraordinary. Just even an example, a small example from the past couple of weeks. The company that Lucas and I run, ARC, was looking for a new bookkeeper. Our bookkeeper had resigned. She was moving to another state. And she was basically saying, this is, you know, imminent and I kind of have to do it quickly. It's going to be within a couple of weeks. And it's not the most glorious position. It's only 3 hours a week. So it's not the kind of thing that when you advertise it, people go, oh, awesome, this is going to give me heaps of money. It's just a short amount of hours. And so it's not the kind of thing that people would go, yeah, I want to onboard and learn all of this stuff and be trained, et cetera, and understand the company just for a few hours a week. It really is going to be somebody who loves us, who wants to take on a job like that. And so I was praying about it and I'm going, Lord, I've got a really limited amount of time and I'm a bit stressed. And I said, is there anybody, you know, and I'd kind of put out a few feelers to a few people, do you know of anybody? And nothing had come back really. And then I just got this one person who I knew was a bookkeeper and just popped into my head and I thought, okay, well, maybe that's the Holy Spirit, maybe not, but it can't hurt. So I send out an email and just say, look, would you like to have a chat? This is our situation and whatever. And a whole week goes by. I've got a timeline of 2 weeks. A whole week goes by and I hear nothing and I don't have a phone number. And I'm just going, Lord, you know. And I get up in the morning, I'm having this prayer time and I'm praying and I'm going, Lord, what do I do about this? You've got to give me an answer or I need to have some sort of a lead as to where I can go. And I felt like he responded to me very clearly that day. And he said, it's sorted. I've got it sorted. And I went, well, okay, I don't have any evidence, you know, thank you, but I don't have any evidence. And I said, can you let me know by the end of the day? So when I go throughout the day and the following morning, I wake up and I'm more stressed and I can just feel this anxiety rising, right? I'm starting to get teary about it and just a bit, you know, uptight. And I'm having my prayer time going, Lord, I don't see any evidence of this. Was that your voice? And see, this is what happens. We start to doubt that we can hear. I'm saying, was that you? And I felt like he said to me, it's done. Stop stressing. It's done. I'm going, well, it's not done, like, Lord God Almighty, it's not, because I don't know who this person is, and I haven't got a contract signed. And I felt like he said back to me, it's done, trust me, worship, worship, worship. And I went, right, I'm still stressed, I'm still frustrated, I'm still arguing, but I went out for my walk that day, and I listened to hymns, and it seemed to me that every hymn that I listened to was talking about the faithfulness of God. I'm going, okay, I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm not seeing any evidence of it. It wasn't until I got home that afternoon and I'm sitting there, I open up Facebook and I thought, maybe I might just send a message to this person that I'd sent the email to. So I sent a personal message through. And she immediately replied and said, oh, I didn't see the email. I've just had a look. It's in my junk. And she immediately called me and went, I would love to work for ARC. I've always wanted to work for ARC. And she'd signed the contract within an hour. And it was so funny as we were having this conversation on the phone and I'm chatting away to her and realising how much of a kindred spirit she is with us. It occurred to me it was done. It's just she didn't know it and I didn't know it. But God knew it. And this is what Charles Stanley is talking about. He's saying, when you walk by the Spirit, you're living moment by moment in dependency on him. You're wanting to hear his voice and just simply move into that space. You know, I felt like the Lord gave me a little kind of slap on the on the face that day, in the sense that he was saying, you should have trusted me and just been thanking me instead of stressing and worrying and letting your anxiety grow because I told you it was done. And you see, the thing with Paul here is that his cry to the Galatians is, why would you start to live in your own strength? Why would you start to live by rules and regulations? Why would you restrict what God is doing in your life when he's actually placed, literally, the Spirit of Jesus within you to guide you in life? And all you have to do is ask and listen and be prepared to obey. And yet it's so easy for us to forget that God has placed the Holy Spirit within us for specifically that reason. I know that in times of chaos and uncertainty, it's natural for us to grasp around for the tangible, to look for tangible answers to the questions that we have, to look for tangible solutions. But the Holy Spirit is not attracted to the known, the tangible. What he's attracted to is us coming to him and saying, I just want to hear. And even if it's sort of out there, I want to be ready to obey. You know, sometimes you won't hear and sometimes you'll get it wrong. But even worse would be fear of not asking the question. Even worse would be fear that holds us back from wanting to know what he is going to say to us. Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit like this in John chapter 16, verse 13. He says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. So what's happening is that the Spirit within us is actually glorifying Jesus by having Jesus' words come alive to us today in a way that Jesus on earth with skin on was not able to do because he was limited in time and space. But the Holy Spirit comes and exists within each of us so that we have access to Jesus constantly. I mean, what a huge privilege is that, to know that there is the wisdom of God available to us for every single situation that we face, and all we have to do is pursue him and listen. The Holy Spirit is the way that Jesus lives and works through us. And so in times of chaos and uncertainty, and we have certainly been through that over these past couple of years, we need to press into the Holy Spirit all the more. It's in times of chaos and uncertainty that we need to hear his voice and be following him all the more, because it's times of chaos and uncertainty where the voices around us become loud and everything in life becomes noisy, and it becomes so difficult to sift through and find out what is right and what is true and what is good. But the Holy Spirit always knows, always knows. Romans chapter 8, Paul says this in verse 5. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. And so for Paul, really, he's saying, don't choose a lesser version of freedom. Choose the fullness that God has in front of you. Choose the fullness of listening to the Spirit and living and walking with the Spirit every single day of your life, because that is where true freedom and fulfillment comes from. And you see, what Paul is saying here is he's basically saying, when you're talking about all of those fleshy kind of tangible things that happen in your life, they are spiritual issues. In fact, for Paul, there is no such thing as a non-spiritual issue. Everything to Paul is a spiritual issue, because every tangible decision that we face in life needs to be guided by the Spirit. Therefore, everything that we do is spiritual, and every issue we face is a spiritual issue. That is Paul's theology here. Now, I know that there was a time in my teenage years where it was kind of, in church circles, it was kind of the thing to be thinking about, oh, there's a demon behind every rock, you know, and there's some sort of a spiritual attack that's about to happen and all of these kind of things. We used to focus on this a lot. And I think that that was in some ways unhealthy. But I also think that in some ways what the church has done over these last two or three decades is swung the pendulum so far that we've become so heady and knowledgeable and information-based that we're bordering on just human logic and reason constantly. And actually what we need to do is get back to what Scripture teaches, the true gospel, which is that Jesus lives in us by his Holy Spirit and is wanting to guide and direct us every single day of our lives. Just to reiterate, Galatians 5:25, where Paul says this, if the Spirit is the source of our life, we must also allow the Spirit to direct every aspect of our lives. You see, we need to do his work by his strength, his power, and his authority. That's what he has called us to do. There is no substitute for the Holy Spirit. There isn't. No PhD, no education, no career, no earthly favor. Nothing will allow you to live a life of freedom the way and to live in the purpose, specific purpose that God has called you to, aside from and outside living by the Spirit. There was a story that I heard just in this past week that really amazed me and made me weep. It was a story of a foster family that are connected with the ARC Network. This foster couple, and they'd been given their first placement, a little baby. She'd come into their home, and they were caring for her. And she'd come from really quite significant trauma, really bad background. And when she came to their home, she was told, the foster parents were told, there's no contact with biological family. The biological family are not interested. They're not asking for contact or anything. And so they started to raise this little girl and just aware of the trauma that she'd experienced, even just in her very, very young life. And after about a year had gone past, this foster mum was praying. She felt like the Lord just whispered into her mind, I want for you to try and connect with her biological dad. And she said, look, I'll be honest with you. When that thought came into my mind, my immediate answer and visceral reaction was, no, I don't want to. There's trauma in this little child's life and it's unfair. And I don't really have very good feelings to this family, if I'm honest with you. I don't want to connect with him. But she felt like the Spirit kept saying to her over and over, try and connect with biological dad. And so she went to the agency and she said, can I connect with a biological father? And the agency said, no, that's a terrible idea. Why would you want to do that? And she's going, oh, okay, what do I do about that? She goes back, she's praying about it. She feels like the Spirit's saying to her, connect with biological dad. It's a matter of urgency. So she goes, okay, goes back to the agency and she says, we're going to connect with biological dad. You need to make it happen. I'm not taking no for an answer. So the agency organise it. They get to meet this father. And on meeting him, they discover that he is terminally ill. They met him. He was a pretty intense kind of a guy, covered in tats and clearly a very, very difficult life. And he is someone who had come through a cycle of abuse himself. But they met with him, they got to take photos of him and this child together so that later on in life the child will be able to see there was actually a relationship with dad. But they said to him, can we connect again? Can we meet again? And they met up with him 2, 3, 4 times. And it was the final time that they met up with him and his heart had softened so much toward them. And he said, I've got this necklace for her. When she grows up, can you give it to her, please? They said, yeah, we would love to do that. We also just want to let you know we love her. We are going to care for her. She is safe with us. She is going to grow up in a family that is absolutely committed to her. And he was so grateful to know that his little girl was going to be safe and looked after. And just before the meeting finished, this foster dad turned to this biological dad and said, listen, do you know Jesus? And he said, his eyes just welled up with tears. And he said, no, but I've been crying out and asking, is there a God? Because every night I go to sleep and I go to bed and I can't sleep. Because I don't know what happens after death. And I know that I'm dying, but I don't know what happens. And I've been asking, is there someone out there who can tell me what happens next? He said, I've been so anxious and so troubled, I can't fall into a deep sleep. And he's weeping as this foster dad shares the gospel with him. And then he says, I understand all of that. But he goes, I'm not good enough. God wouldn't want me. Look at what I've done with my life. Why would he accept me? I've got nothing to offer him now. And this foster dad said, I want to tell you a story about a thief on a cross who was hanging next to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him. There was nothing about his life that was redeemable either. Jesus forgave him, and he was the first saint to enter heaven. And this man just broke down, and he's just weeping, weeping, weeping. And he says, I need this Jesus. And that foster dad led him to Christ that day. And 2 days later, he sent them a text, and he said, I just wanted to let you know I've been sleeping peacefully. I have so much joy in my heart. And it was 2 months later that he passed away. Now, when I heard that story, I just wept. I've got a lump in my throat sharing it with you now. Such an extraordinary story of the grace and the goodness of God. But you know how that story starts? It starts because a foster mum, an ordinary person, listened to the prompting of the Spirit. When the Spirit spoke into her heart and said, I have something for you to do. I just want you to connect with this bio dad. She went, I'm listening and I'm going to do what you say. The story only happens, that salvation only happens because someone was listening to the Spirit and walking by the Spirit. And that man was someone who was crying out to a God he didn't know and saying, are you there? And that God was relaying that message to this foster mum, and a life was eternally changed. And not only was his life eternally changed, but this little girl will grow up knowing that her father had been connected with her new family. It's redemption all over the place. Why? Because someone chose to listen to the Spirit. I can't reiterate it to us enough, Crossway. God is leading us into a new season. He's been doing it over the past couple of years. He's been trying to bring us to a new level. It's like Pastor Sam was saying last week, he doesn't want us to go back. He wants us to move forward. He is moving us into a new season. And I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is trying to grab hold of our hearts and change us and speak powerfully to us at the moment. He's wanting to speak into our hearts. He's wanting us to understand what his voice sounds like. And he's wanting people who follow him to actually follow his voice. He wants the people who say that they're his children to be the ones who follow along with what he says and who say, what is it you're saying to me, Lord, today? And yes, I'm going to do that. It's a life of listening and obeying. That's what he's calling us to. And it's the only thing that is going to take us into this new season at the level that he is asking and calling us to go into it. And so it is my cry, as it was Paul's to the Galatians church, it's my cry for us today that we would engage with him in that way. The most fulfilling way to live the Christian life is to find our joy in listening to and obeying Jesus. And then just leaving the results up to him. That's how we live a life of freedom and fulfillment and who he is. It's not about our circumstances. It's about what the Lord is saying to us and us going on that journey with him, sometimes through hardship, sometimes through joy, but nevertheless knowing that he is speaking and we are following and our world is being changed because of that obedience. So wherever you are, I'm going to ask for you to stand. And I'm going to pray for us. And I'm actually going to pray for three groups of people, those who are not used to hearing his voice, those who used to listen but don't anymore, and those who hear regularly. And I'm just going to pray for the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh and to speak to us and to lead us on. So in this moment, you might want to just close your eyes, and you might even want to hold your hands out to him in surrender. And just ask for him to speak to you as I pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you are a God who is intimately connected with us. You don't leave us on our own. You're not looking at us from a distance. Lord, you are with us. The Holy Spirit living inside us so that we can hear the voice of God Almighty, our Creator, and that we can live a life of fulfillment knowing that we are obeying you and pursuing the purpose that you placed before us by listening to your voice. Lord, for those of us today who are listening, who are not used to hearing your voice, who don't necessarily even know what it sounds like, who don't ask the question, who just live in our own strength, and we know that we do, I want to pray right now in this moment that for each person in that situation who is not used to hearing your voice, Holy Spirit, I want to pray that you would place a person in our mind that you want us to reach out to this week. Just place an image of their face or place their name into our mind's eye right now as we stand before you. Someone that you want for us to reach out to this week. If the Lord has placed someone in your mind, then just commit to him right now. You will do it. You'll reach out to someone this week, and then next week you'll ask for a new name. And as that becomes a habit, you'll get used to listening to his voice and you'll grow in confidence. Lord, I want to lift before you people who used to hear you a lot and used to listen to you a lot, but because of the chaos and the confusion of now, are simply not hearing your voice or seeking your voice the way that we were before. And I want to pray, Lord God, for a new passion and a new vigor and a new excitement to hear what you want to say. I pray, Lord, that as each of those people wake up in the morning, you would remind them you have things to say and you would make it joyful for them to re-engage in listening to you. I ask for your blessing on them. I pray for an infilling, fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit right now. And Lord, for those of us as well who listen to you as a habit, and it has become an ordinary and essential and important part of our lives to be constantly listening to you, I want to pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you would place someone on our hearts that you want for us to mentor and guide in listening to you. That it wouldn't be something that's just for us, but that what you have shown us and grown in us would be developed in someone else too. Just place someone on our heart right now. I thank you for your grace to us, that you even give us responsibility to be a part of your mission when we are so fallen and we are so weak is just extraordinary. It's such a privilege. And we're so grateful to you that you choose to use us. And so, Father, for each of us as your children, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit now. We don't want to take you for granted. We thank you for the wonderful gift the Spirit is, the Spirit of Jesus, that the gospel is Jesus plus nothing, and the Spirit living in us is that gospel living out of us. So use us, Lord. Have your way. And we thank you for what you will do in and through us. in the matchless, powerful name of Jesus.